Learn when you first start studying Jewish roots is the difference between the Greek mind and the Hebrew mind. The Greek mind studies to obtain knowledge. The Hebrew mind studies to do. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, as well as the church at Philippi, said to let us have, we are to have the mind of Messiah in us. So if we're going to have the mind of Messiah in us, then we have to have that Hebrew mind. We're not studying to gain knowledge. We're studying to do. What are we to do? We're to study to be like Jesus. Let's go to our notes now, having this Hebrew mind in us. Number one in your notes, Simon, Andrew, James, John, and Philip, and Matthew came from Bethsaida on the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida is right here. Capernaum is here. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's Tiberias. So Jesus was raised here in Nazareth. And we know he worked in Sepphoris, a Greek city. Remember, Jesus uses the term hypocrite, and he's describing actors. And Sepphoris here had a stage, a theater, and they had actors. So that's where Jesus gets that term hypocrite. So you can see by being raised in Nazareth, he wasn't very far from the Galilee area. Okay, all this area is considered the Galilee area. Here's the upper Galilee and the lower Galilee. So Jesus was raised in what is called the lower Galilee. Again, here's Bethsaida, Capernaum, and Tiberias, Nazareth. And up here, towards the end of our lesson tonight, Jesus is going to walk almost 30 miles up here to what is called Panis, otherwise known as Caesarea Philippi. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. That'll be towards the end of our lesson. We're still in number one. Contrary to the common view that the Galileans were simple, uneducated peasants is your blank, from an isolated area, the people of Galilee were the most religious Jews in the world in the time of Jesus. So all those stories about how Jesus picked these uneducated hillbilly, so to speak, is not really true. His disciples were well educated, and they're from the area of Galilee. At the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew, the people seem amazed that the Galileans can speak in other languages, according to Acts 2. After the Holy Spirit fell, everyone heard the word of God in their own language. And it was because these Galileans were speaking in different languages. This seems to be a bias against Galileans by the people of Judea and other countries due to the very strong, compassionate, religious commitments of the people of Galilee. In other words, they may have been jealous of the Galileans. 3. Besides their religious passion, Galilean people were more educated in the Bible and its application than most Jews. Bible is your blank in number 3. And just in case I didn't mention it, Judea is your blank in number 2. Continuing with number 3. The Galilean people had more interaction with the world living on the way of the sea, or the trade route that the Jews of Jerusalem, who were more isolated in the mountains, according to Matthew 4:15. Number four in your notes. More famous Jewish teachers come from Galilee than anywhere else in the world. They were known for their great reverence for Scripture and the passionate desire to be faithful to it. Faithful is your blank. This translated into vibrant religious communities devoted to strong families and their country, whose synagogues echoed the debate and discussions about keeping the Torah. Number five in your notes. They resisted the pagan influences of Hellenism far more than did their Judean counterparts. When the great revolt against the pagan Romans and their collaborators finally occurred, it began among the Galileans. Now that was what was called the first Jewish revolt. Well, the Galileans were some of the first to revolt against the Romans. And that all took place between the year 66 and 74 AD, with the temple being destroyed in 70 AD. Number six, Yeshua was born, grew up, and spent his ministry among people who knew Scripture by memory. Memory is your blank. Revolt was your blank at number five. Memory is your blank at number six. I'm going to read that again, number six. Yeshua was born, grew up, and spent his ministry among people who knew Scripture by memory, who debated this application with enthusiasm, and to love God with all their hearts, all their souls, and all their might. So the atmosphere that Jesus grew up in was one where you memorized the Scriptures. And if you memorized the Scriptures, then you could have a debate. You could talk about, well, here's what the Word of God says. How do I apply that to my life? And so he lived he grew up in the Galilee where, you know, they debated those things in the synagogue. They debated those things around the kitchen table. Number seven, Yahweh prepared this environment carefully so that Yeshua could have exactly the context he needed to present his message of Malkut Shemaim, or the kingdom of heaven, and his followers would understand and enjoy his new movement. John the Baptist's message when he came out of the wilderness was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John is placed in prison, Jesus is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And most of Jesus' parables have to do with how the kingdom of heaven operates. So the kingdom of heaven was very much the message of Jesus. Number eight in your notes. Yeshua fit his world perfectly, as did those he called to be his Talmudim, or disciples. The Mishnah describes the educational process for young Jewish boys in Yeshua's time. What is the Mishnah? Jews believe that not only did God give Moses the written law or Torah, but that God gave Moses the oral Torah, or the how to walk these commands out. And the oral Torah was believed to have been passed down from father to son, all the way through the time of Jesus. And it was some 120 years after Jesus that these oral traditions were written down, and it's called the Mishnah. Number nine, at 5 years old, one is fit for the scripture. At 10 years, the Mishnah or oral Torah. At 13, for the fulfilling of the commandments. In other words, at 13, you now were held responsible for your actions. At 15, the Talmud or rabbinic interpretations. In other words, at 13, you were responsible for the commands. At 15, you could read the Talmud, which is it's like a Jewish commentary to the Torah. It's how to interpret. And it's written down, and it's the second part of the Mishnah called the Talmud. The Mishnah is the first part of the Talmud. And basically, these are commentaries, Jewish commentaries on the Torah. So at 15, the Talmud or rabbinic interpretations, you were old enough to look into those interpretations. At 18, you're old enough to be married or old enough for the bride chamber. At 20, you're old enough to pursue a vocation. And at 30, for authority or able to teach others. So we know now why Jesus didn't start his ministry until age 30. Number 10, this clearly describes the exceptional student. Very few would become teachers, but indicates the centrality of Scripture in the education in Galilee. In other words, the Galilean education for their children, at its center, was the Word of God. Now you think about that for a minute. How much better off would our society be if our children's education started out with the Word of God instead of some far-out wacko philosopher? Yeshua's disciples would become teachers as well as the writers of the New Testament. And Jesus and his disciples had this foundation of the Torah. They started reading the Torah at 4 or 5. They started fulfilling the commandments at 13. And so they had this Jewish foundation of education that centered on the Bible. So they would have been ripe for picking, so to speak. That's why Jesus picked them. They were well educated, well versed in the Bible. Number 11. Student is your blank in number 10. Number 11. Although little is stated about Yeshua's childhood, it is interesting to compare his life to this description. We know that he grew in wisdom as a boy, according to Luke 2:52, and that he reached the fulfilling of the commandments indicated by one's first Passover at age 12 in Luke 2:41. He then learned a trade in Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3, and spent time with John the Baptist in Luke 3:21, and began his ministry at about 30 years of age, according to Luke 3:23. This parallels the description, or the Mishnah description, very well. At the very least, it demands a closer look at the education process in Galilee. Around 100 BC, the main Jewish scribes, known as rabbis, began having disciples, or Talmudim. They developed schools associated with the local synagogue while learning a trade. The best students continued their study in the Bet Midrash, or house of study, or secondary school that was also taught by a rabbi of the community. Here, they studied the prophets and the writings in addition to Torah and began to learn the interpretations of the oral Torah, or the Mishnah, and to learn how to make their own applications. 13. Memorization of scriptures was very important because most people did not have their own copy of the scriptures, so they either had to know it by heart, heart is your blank, study was your blank in 12, and wisdom was your blank in 11, and I better get 10. A blank in 10 was student. We get back here to number 13. Memorization of scripture was very important because most people did not have their own copy of the scriptures, so they either had to know it by heart or go to the synagogue to consult the village scroll. Memory was enhanced by reciting aloud, a practice still widely used in Middle Eastern education, both Jewish and Muslim. Constant repetition was an essential element of learning. Number 14. A few of the most outstanding students sought permission to study with a famous rabbi, often leaving home. Home is your blank. To travel with him for a lengthy period. These students were called Talmidim in Hebrew, which is translated disciple. There is much more to a Talmid than what we call student. Here is a picture of the Sea of Galilee. We are in a boat. This is just this past November. And this area here is the Mount of the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus stood in a boat and preached. He did, there were several miracles he did here at the Mount of Beatitudes. Let's see the next picture, if we can. This is the east side of the Sea of Galilee. This is Jordan. Next picture. There's a boat like the one we're on in the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is going to be the same sea that Jesus is going to come walking on here later in our lesson. Number 15. A student wants to know what the teacher knows for a good grade or complete a class or degree or even out of respect for the teacher. We've all studied because we had to pass a class. And I wasn't good at homework, wasn't a good student, but I could study for a test. I could pass the test. But studying to take a test and pass normally meant I didn't retain anything. I didn't learn anything. I just passed the test. A Talmid, or a disciple, wants to be like the teacher and to become what the teacher is. In other words, that Hebrew mindset is I'm studying to do, and what I'm trying to do is be like my rabbi, be like my teacher. Number 16. The Talmid, or disciple, were passionately devoted to their rabbi and noted everything he did or said. The rabbi-Talmid, or rabbi-student relationship, was a very intense and personal system of education. Intense is your blank there in 16. As the rabbi lived and taught his understanding of the scripture, his students listened and watched and imitated to become like him, eventually becoming teachers and passing on a lifestyle to their students. I truly believe this describes Yeshua and his disciples. Intense is your blank in 16. 17, Galilee was the perfect place for Jesus to find disciples and to start his ministry because it was a place of intense study of Scripture. people were knowledgeable about its content. And the various applications made by their tradition. Tradition is your blank. They were determined to live by it and to pass their faith and knowledge and lifestyle. Under their children, it was into the this world that Yeshua came as a child and eventually became a rabbi. So God handpicked the Galilee area for Jesus to be raised, knowing he would be raised in an area that valued the Torah, the Word of God, that studied it, that talked about it. 18. Yeshua seems to be a type of rabbi believed to have smikah, or authority to make new interpretations or to expound on the Torah. Expound is your blank there in 18. Most of the teachers were Torah teachers who could only teach accepted interpretations. Those with authority can make new interpretations and pass legal judgments. Nineteen. Crowds were amazed because Yeshua taught with authority, not as their Torah teachers, according to Matthew 7:28-29. Rabbis invited students to learn to keep the Torah. This was called taking the yoke of Torah, or yoke. Torah teachers would teach the accepted interpretations or yoke of their community. Let me look over here in Matthew 7.